And now let's just so everyone's doing some personal chanting, and if you have some realization from your chanting or some inspiration from your own personal chanting, or some need some help or thought or something like that, we could go around and just have some comments about our realizations. And
I have a question before that. Do you know who did the translation of this holy name of Sri Hari's
already?
Is it called Kanta?
No. It's Dravida. Okay,
it's this. It's more like when doubts arise in my mind about a certain thing, like when I'm reading along in the Bhagavatam, like on the fourth canto, the second part of the fourth canto, and I read through the Bhagavad Gita, and I'm still reading it over. But like sometimes when I'm like at work or on my way to work, I think about, you know, Krishna and different things and stuff, and there'll be like a doubt in my mind or something. But no sooner than that doubt comes to my mind, I'll be reading along that night, and it just erases it. It just totally, like, crushes it down, you know, and proves to me even more and more every time I do chant and read that this is the best thing in the universe, and this is what I've been looking for who knows how many lifetimes.
Jai. <Yeah.
So laughs> That's why I get my realizations like that, you know. Like, so it'll be doubts, and I don't mean them to be there. They just arise, and I fight them off, but they are there. But then once they're there, no sooner, like I said, than that, it always seems to happen too. That night, or you know, no later than 24 hours after that, it'd be right there in the Bhagavad Gita, right there in the Bhagavatam, just totally explaining it away. And I'm like, wow, how did they know? how did the Bhagavad Gita know? You know? That's all I can.
Thank you very much. Nice one. Sugi. Satya.
I gave this meditation class in Tokyo, and the last class was the day before I had to leave, so I passed out these feedback forms, so I'm starting to get some feedback from some of the students in the class, and one of the questions was there something that you didn't agree with, or something you didn't understand in the course, and one girl wrote back, she's because I was telling them about the power of mantra and how mantras will, they're not all the same, that mantras will take you, you know, to a certain destination just like a train to the world. And she said, when she heard this, it really scared her. And so then I wrote her back and I said, well, when you say Shiva, Shiva's there. He's there with his planet and his abode. And when you say Vishnu or you say Krishna, Krishna's there. And so many, you know, everyone is taught to think. Well, actually, she said, well, is that, you know, we're all meditation practitioners. Don't we all end up in the same destination? And I said, well, you know, it depends on where you want to go. There's God manifests as Brahman, but he also manifests as Paramatma and also as Bhagavan. And most people are only thinking of Brahman. So I said, in that sense, yeah, you know, if people are thinking that, then that's where they're going to go. But if you're thinking Bhagavan, and you have that conception, and then I explained about mantras and how you know, they all come from somewhere. There's a rishi that first gives a mantra into the world, and that according to, if you receive your mantra from a guru, then you're also receiving your guru's knowledge when you receive that mantra. And so it's a complicated thing. Mantra chanting is a science. according to one's conception and according to where one gets the mantra, then the mantra will take you there. So I was just thinking, we're sitting here chanting the mantras of the Brahma Samhita in front of the deities, and it's full of the conception of Govinda in the spiritual world. And that's what it's going to take us.
Thank you so much. That's very nice. That's reminded me of this. I had a sort of startling realization a few years ago when I went to Prabhupada's feast after his disappearance, on his disappearance day in Vrindavan. And it's held at Vogel Ashram, which has become gigantic. I mean, it can hold 4,000 or 5,000 people sitting for prasadam at one time. And if you look in there, it's bigger than Howrah Station, if anybody's been to Howrah Station. I mean, it's gigantic. And during Prabhupada's feast, there are, especially when Radhanath Swami's in town and he's got 3,000 disciples there, even when he's not, it fills up during that day. And when I looked in, I saw 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 people sitting for prasadam. And then, my experiences at Howrah Station and other places, which are, where people are sort of waiting to catch a train somewhere. And I had this feeling all of a sudden, that's why I say it was a stark realization, that all these sadhakas that were there taking prasadam, chanting the holy names, it's really just a waiting station. Like Satyadev Prabhu was saying, here we are, we come to this place, we're sitting on a platform, we're here with the deities, they've appeared here, and we're worshiping, we're reading the authorized books that have been given to us. It's stamped, it's authorized through Parampara, so we're following. And those devotees who come here and sit and go through this process, it's like a waiting station, waiting to, who knows when we'll leave, but Krishna guarantees that he'll take those devotees who are meditating on him back to him. And this is what this is. It's a little layover station here on the way back to Goloka. Who else? We're discussing realizations from chanting the holy name specifically. Yes, Prishtar's microphone.
Presently standing in the tradition of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhaktivinoda, his commentary on the second and third verses of the Upadeshamrita, and on the point of utsaha, enthusiasm. In one paragraph, he talks about how in the beginning of our spiritual path, there's this enthusiasm, this excitement, and uses this word, the dangers of it becoming cold. He uses this word, cold. And then in the following paragraph, he talks about three or four things that we have to be careful of while we're chanting the holy names. And I was really appreciating this because it's very easy to catch this cold. And he says there's indifference. Indifference, lethargy, apathy, and there's one more. Yeah, indifference, lethargy, or laziness, and apathy. Now these things will actually hinder us or will influence to catch this cold. So I was just appreciating how in our own practice of this japa sadhana, to be very cautious of these. And then at the end, he said, faith, many people have faith in God, and I was thinking also faith in the holy name. But he said, but that faith without enthusiasm isn't actually true faith. And so he said, one can develop that true faith in proper sadhusanga. So I was just thinking also in relationship with chanting the holy name. On our own, a lot of times, indifference, apathy, laziness, that tendency can settle in. But once you come into association where there is that enthusiasm, even you might be completely in that cold spell, once you come into the enthusiasm, just immediately that transformation can take place. So whether with a jhakpa or study.
Very nice. Thank you. I heard an example about how in days of yore, when there was no gas stoves and ovens and things like that, and electricity, people used to keep a fire going in their homes all the time, especially for cooking during the winter. And the idea was that, like, even overnight, you want to have a few, like at least a little coal going, so you could relight it in the morning and have fire, because it was a lot harder without matches and things to start. And therefore, sometimes, however, due to circumstances, the fire would go out completely. And you live in a village somewhere, and then all of a sudden you don't have fire. Well, you could, get the tinder box out and try to light it again. Or easier, you can just go to your neighbor and say, is the coal going in there? Yes? Could I have a little chunk? And then you can light your fire and come back and start it again. So pursuant to that idea that, you find somebody who has that, and it's much easier than starting it up yourself than to go into the association of someone who already has that enthusiasm, and then your fire can light right away. Who's next? Discussing realizations, specifically about chanting the holy names, japa, or anything that relates to... Yes, please.
Before, first I'd like to ask the blessings of all the devotees here so that I can do my chanting properly. I'm not so good at it, but I can say one thing, that when I miss my chanting, I'm in a very grumpy mood. It's like everything is bad, my life is a waste. And then I think that, why am I in such a bad mood? And I realize, oh, I missed my chanting. So it's like slowly becomes part of life.
Nice, thank you. Who's next?
So when I started chanting, I was wondering how people chant 16 rounds. So when I started one round, 16 rounds around 700 times. They only spent 2 hours for chanting. So I was a bit worried, how can I spend 2 hours to chant the same name repeatedly for 700 times? So one thing I have realized, that if you want to repeat any one word in the universe, other than Hare Krishna mantra, you can't repeat more than 100 times. If you want to repeat Colgate, you can get tired. You will get tired after some kind of time. But by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, you never get tired. So then slowly I have moved 20 rounds. Now I never feel, I want to do more chanting. So one thing is, you never get tired when chanting the holy name, so compared to any other mantras. And you get kind of ever freshness. So while chanting the holy name, so every day is fresh. So when doing 40 rounds, I would thought, okay, I would like to do more rounds. Sometimes I would like more than 20 rounds. So day I think of kind of confidence, kind of very enthused. The mantra gives a lot of the power for me to do more chanting. So when I started one round, I am doing 20 rounds. I'm still thinking I'm doing only 20 rounds. So eventually to 32 rounds. So that's a some way it gives me some kind of it controls my mind. So when I do 16 rounds, when I left 4 rounds left, right, I used to think that Swami something. When I do my work also, I should chant with my fingers. So I would like complete 20 rounds in a span of time. So that kind of commitment will give automatically the Maha Mantra, the dedication.
Chai.
So people think that one round of chanting very difficult when they started, but slowly when they started, the Maha Mantra it controls us to do more chant, and you can easily reach 16 rounds.
Very nice. Thank you very much. So if we don't see you at some point, we'll know you've gone into a cave somewhere.
How much is one round? I don't know what.
1 at 8.
The one round means you have your japa beads. Do you have japa beads?
No.
Okay. Well, you can get some japa beads from me. I'll make sure you get them. Just see me afterwards, okay? So there's 108 beads here. And then each one of these beads, you chant Hare Krishna mantra, and then you move to the next bead. And you go all the way around, and that's one round. Then you go back the other way and chant a mantra on each bead, and that's another round. So
108
times is one round. Yes.
About the chanting, I was not only about the chant, but the whole process. I heard something from a spiritual master, which was interesting. He said, because usually we ask for inspiration, you know, like, you know, the motivation to do it. He said, look, as long as you do the process, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of consciousness you have, just do it. You know, just keep on doing it, you know. And that was really good for me because, for example, I decided to come to the temple. And sometimes I'm not excited about coming, you know, and I just remember that, you know, just do it, just do it. It doesn't matter, you know, sometimes I'm really happy to do, sometimes I'm not happy to do, I just keep on going. And since I start to think that way, accept that phrase, I'm coming for a long time, you know, for some time, so I can see something steady, you know, just by listening to what he said. And I'll tell you, sometimes I don't have motivation to come, you know, and sometimes I remember I was doing Sankirtana, and sometimes the devotees get very excited about, you know, Sankirtana. And then our teacher said, when you really have good time there, you're in heaven, but you have a hard time in praying to Krishna, you're in Vaikuntha. You know, so, but it really helped me, you know, don't just do, you know. And have something like regular, like, for example, I try to get here before the altar opens. You know, I remember the president of the temple in France, Parvati Swami, when he was there, the temple is really, everything's, nothing's happening. And the only thing he did, keep everything in the schedule. You know, all the gates open right time, you know, as a really heavy schedule, and really easy for the mind. You know, like everybody goes to school. Our minds are, you're supposed to go to school. Everybody go to work. You know, you do, when you're sick, you don't go, with your friend to play, but you go to work because the mind's conditioning. So mind needs discipline, you know. It's more like, you know, you said something that really helped me. The one little thing is, I think, less than, you know, it's stay in that thing. Just make that thing perfect. And the result is amazing, you know. You know, it's just amazing. It's the one little thing. And in Krishna shows, you know, like one example, I'm like, you know, these last months I decided to come to the temple all the time. I come here by myself, you know, and I'm just come. And then it's interesting, like last week, so many people come, oh, man, you come to the temple all the time. It's not that I want to be praised, but I see like Krishna showing that, you know, how one little thing, people respond, and then, you know, some people, oh, I want to come to the morning, but then I feel guilty, I'm not going to keep it. I'm scared, I need to keep it. But it's just like one thing. So, and thank you for the association, you know.
Jai, thank you very much. A lot of nice stuff there. Akarna.
I was inspired by what Rama Lakshmana was talking about, because I've been studying the 14th chapter, and, you know, Krishna talks about how, you know, one who's transcendental to the modes, he can see that everything is happening by the modes of material nature, these three modes that goodness binds by a sense of happiness and knowledge, and ignorance binds, bewilders everyone, and binds by indolence, madness, and but at any rate, then Arjuna asks, how can you tell someone who's transcended the modes? And Krishna says that they're not elated when illumination comes, and they're not disturbed. In other words, the modes are going on. So they're aloof from them. And I was wondering, but if they're transcendental, then haven't they cultivated the mode of goodness? Aren't they in the mode of goodness all the time? Why is it that they're experiencing this aloofness while these modes are still going on? And it reminded me of him saying that about on Sankirtan, you know, that it really is, Prabhupada explains in the purport that you know, when you're not trying to enjoy, then you're steady in your service no matter what comes, then you can see that you're aloof from the activities of the modes of nature that are always going on. Sometimes passion defeats ignorance and goodness, sometimes goodness defeats passion and ignorance. But the devotee who's Brahma-Buddha, he's steady regardless of what these things are going on. So that reminded me of that.
Thank you. We're discussing realizations from your chanting or from your service. Who's next? Speak now, because we only have time for a few more.
I was thinking, you know, there's so many things to do in the world, and it's like juggling. There's so many balls in the air, and it's hard to keep them all up in the air, and sometimes you drop a few of them. But no matter what you try to do, like, you know, Prabhupada said, chewing the chewed, you can look at so many places and you won't find any happiness. And when you start chanting and you start feeling some happiness, you realize through direct experience that this path, we're so fortunate to have it. And we should never forget that, because there's so many other situations that we could be in. And we're so fortunate to be here right now talking about this and really appreciating the mellow of the holy name.
Thank you very much. Very nice. It reminds me, if anybody else doesn't have japa beads, you could see me afterwards and we'll arrange. I brought a whole trunk full of japa beads back. And neck beads, too. It's very nice to have neck beads.
Are you giving out names, too?
Just to my mother.
What's your mother's name there?
Jamuna.
Jamuna.
She's getting old. She's 92, and she just turned old, because at 91 she was still very spry and lively, but because she lost her husband of 70 years last year, I just noticed everything's gone down. And I was there on Christmas time, and for Christmas I brought her a Harinam chatter and some japa beads and counter beads and things. And she was very happy to receive them. And I taught her how to, you know, chant the japa on the beads and everything like that. And my brother was there, and he knows about, you know, how devotees have names and stuff. I said, no, you have to give her a name, too. She said, oh, I want a name. So I called her Jamuna. And anyway, she started chanting japa. And the next day, she called me at my house and said that, you know, she had been in anxiety about something. She couldn't sleep, and she woke up the next morning, you know, struggling with something, and she said, I shouldn't be struggling with this. I'm Jamuna now. So I went and got my beads, and I started chanting, and she said, it works. Who's next? Kishore is smiling, so, oh, there's Stephanie.
For the past week and a half, we've been staying in my family's house, and I was thinking that it's such a solace to have the holy name every day, that we can, you know, like Trishna says, spend time with Krishna. Because we've been spending a lot of time with our family, trying to, you know, accommodate for them, and, you know, change our normal schedule for them. But I was thinking how magicians, they have this magic hat and they can pull things out. And so when I put my hand in the bead bag, the beads have this, you know, extension to the spiritual world. Mm. And when I'm chanting, then. That's my
Mm. That is really a nice meditation. Thank you very much. Such a good point. Okay, wait, Kishore was smiling. I think he has something. Go ahead. Let's hear what you're smiling about. I want to hear about your ecstasy here.
I don't have any particular realizations. I do get a little taste, but Just keeping up my chanting rounds just to follow the authority. I believe that something will happen in the future if I keep my...
Carlos had a point. Thank you very much. That's very poignant instruction.
Hey, Vaish, I work with this young kid. He's like 19 years old, the same age as my oldest daughter. And I talk to him about Krishna very often, and he seems to be very favorable to it. And we were working in this one house doing construction, and this big spider had made this big giant web right by where he was working, where he was going to work. And I don't know if he was scared of it or what, and he killed the spider. And I got really upset with him, told him not to do that. You know, I talked to him about Krishna, how all living entities have a right to live on earth if they're born here, and how Krishna's part of all of us. So one day he came to work, and he's just sitting there real quiet. I'm like, what's wrong, man? He's like, man, I had this dream last night. I'm like, what was it? He's all, man, you were talking about Krishna, and I had this grasshopper in this jar, and Krishna was saying that if that grasshopper dies, you die. So he was in his jar. He was in his jar, and he was headbutting the jar. And he started saying, let him out. So he was scared to death about this grasshopper dying. So it seems that he's got a lot of more respect for life.
Wow.
Especially about, like, you know, animals and bugs. And
yes.
He really didn't understand, you know, what was going on.
Yes.
And when I was young, I didn't either.
Yeah,
but you know, it seemed to me that he had a realization right there.
That's very powerful. That you know, and that somebody who has realization of, you know, when you said it, even now, you can feel how, you know, you're realizing it. You know, Krishna's there in the living entities. Nirkula told me her younger sister, who's very much younger than she is, when she was visiting, she stayed with her for about a year when she was small. And they were driving to Laguna Beach from Los Angeles, and there was cows on the pasturing on the hill, and grazing on the hill, I should say. And her young sister was pointing there and smiling and saying how beautiful the cows were. And so Nirkula said, you know, at home, when mommy gives you, you know, a hamburger or something like that, they have to kill those to feed you. And she said, no, that's not true. And she said, no, it is true. And she was very serious about it, you know, when she told her. I think she was, I don't know how old she was, maybe 6 or 7 or something. And she started crying. And she cried all the way back to Los Angeles, which is like an hour and a half. And after that, she became a vegetarian. And she still is. And she's in her 30s. So these instructions given, you know, at the right time, with realization, can be very powerful for people. Two more. Yes, please pass back to her in the back. Ananya? Anya?
Ramya.
Okay, Ramya. That's not on. You got to turn the button on. Ramaswamy, help her out. Thank you.
What I found about my realization with chanting was, first it was very difficult to even chant one round, and like I felt why I was doing it. First, I didn't have a taste or anything. Slowly the taste developed and all that, and I also realized that this chanting also helps you, it protects you from the greatest danger also. That is also very important, but being conditioned souls, we don't realize it. When we realize it, when we continue chanting, we come to know where all this mantra has worked. And it really is a very powerful mantra. It's a maha mantra.
Jai, thank you very much. We have time for one more. So who will bless us? Okay, Mataji. Hand her the microphone.
I was chanting probably like some late rounds for the past 2 years, but last year exactly around the same time I started chanting 16 rounds. But I was not having like so much of taste. I just used to keep up my chanting of 16 rounds, but like somehow just doing it. But I was like always worried that when my chanting will improve. I was so much worried. That was one of the greatest worry that I had, how can I improve my chanting. like Vaishaji Prabhu had given like some few tips. I don't know, it might be helpful for everybody. One is like reading the Harinama Amrita by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and chanting in front of Tulsi Maharani. And next one is the most important one is like while you are doing the chanting, like you should see that death is coming near you and you have to cry out the holy names just before, like how you cry out like Hare Krishna. So you just do that. Like I started like very little. I was thinking, I don't know, like I just read that book and then I was thinking, oh, but still I didn't get so much taste or the full thing. But later, like after doing the chanting in front of Tulsi Maharani, and I really got like so much of little taste. I started like getting little taste. Earlier, like I used to think like I should get up and then go to work, all those things. Now, like at least I see I have to get up and do little chanting. I have to get up for my chanting. So first do the chanting, then only like whatever. So now recently, like I started, as soon as I get up, like do few rounds, then only work or anything else in my like whatever. So this really improved my chanting a lot. So as soon as like I get up, like now I think this is my time for chanting. So it's really helping me a lot.
Jai, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thanks to everybody.